Welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcast, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms, through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community.
Welcome to our show. My name is Deborah Rose, and I'm your host on Circle Talk. Circle Talk is one of the shows featured on CSNP, Circle Sanctuary Network Podcast. CSNP has a lineup of rotating shows during each month. Mondays featured Lunatic Mondays with host Laura Gonzalez. It can't be Tuesday without Circle Talk, and I continue to be the host for this fun discussion show on the first and third Tuesday of each month. Wednesdays feature Circle of Nature with none other than Selena Fox. The second and fourth Friday of each month features Songs of the Pagan Tribe, hosted by Kern Greenman. Less talk, more pagan music featuring songs, people, and the wonderful, inspiring world of pagan music. The third Friday of each month features Blue Marble, an eco-educational, eco-restorational, and eco-spirituality podcast that features activist adventures, stories about climate impacts with climate solutions, and how you can manifest good energy for our planet. Celebrate the next full moon online with Circle Sanctuary Community. The theme is Harvest Blessings and takes place on Tuesday, September 17th. Full moon circles begin at 7 p.m. Central Time, which is also 8 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Mountain, 4 p.m. Pacific. Circle Sanctuary full moon circles include invocations, music, meditations, poetry, reflection, and ritual workings. They are facilitated by Circle Sanctuary ministers, Reverend Selena Fox and Reverend Judith Sizes, plus other members of the Circle Sanctuary community. Those joining online are invited to bring a candle to kindle during the ritual and are invited to interact with others in the chat on YouTube. Attendance is free and no registration is required. For more information, please go to circlesanctuary.org. The book, The Mandarin Tree, shares the wisdom of Asia in an accessible way, presenting insights on mystical beings and animal magic, goddesses, ancestors, crystals, feng shui, and the five elements. Tonight on Circle Talk, I'm very excited. We're going to shift our mindset by learning to tap into sacred energetic practices and techniques that will unlock our meridian tree magic, step into a prosperity portal, and manifest our most magical life. The authors are Pamela Chin and Samantha Blossom. Pamela Chin is the author of also The Enchanted Crystal Magic and creator of Witchling Academy Tarot and Tarot of the Owls. She also works as a business, wealth, and money manifesting coach. She helps high-achieving, powerful creatures and visionaries across potentials and opportunities from the quantum field and Akashic records through expanding their energetic awareness to infinite possibilities and real magic. When she's not writing or coaching, she loves to cuddle with her chickens, watch Korean drama, and eat spicy Cheeto Puffs with avocado. You can visit her at magicalpam.com. Samantha Blossom is a manifestation mentor, an opulence oracle activating business owner, entrepreneur, and visionary to create their most blessed out life and prosperous universe. Her mission is to teach people to create a life and business that is in alignment with the expression of their soul. She's been in the world of teaching quantum miracles since 2008. She uses a blend of traditional Chinese medicine, Reiki, body talk, emotional freedom techniques, and acunet, positive psychology, ISBT, Bowen therapy, quantum particle, hypnosis, and several other healing modalities. We're going to have to talk about that. That's so interesting. Support her clients in achieving success at the speed of light. In her spare time, she loves traveling and visiting healers across the world. You can tune into her magical world on Instagram at Samantha Love Blossom or visit her website, SamanthaBlossom.com. Let's welcome Pam and Samantha to Circle Talk. Welcome.
Hi, Deborah.
Deborah, we're so excited to be here. Woo!
Thank you. I loved your book. So it's interesting. You're both authors in your own right. Is this the first book that you've had that you've created together?
Yes, first collaboration.
Tell us how that came about.
So actually, Sam and I found each other online, and we didn't meet until after we wrote our book.
That's
And
fun.
so we were talking, we became really good entrepreneur friends, supporting each other. And she was telling me how she wanted to write a book. And at that time, I already had maybe three or four publishing contracts. So I was going to help her, but I thought it was too complicated. So I knew she could write. I knew she was a genius. So I'm like, why don't we just write a book together? And that's how everything really started.
Yeah, the initial idea was a little heavy. I was like, oh, I want to write a book called Breaking the Asian Matrix.
Oh, that's fun.
And I was like, no, that's not going to sell. They're not going to take this. So we didn't do that.
And I love it. I feel like spirit just really guided us to create. I mean, we were both prosperity coaches. And so, but our idea and concept of prosperity is that like the money feels fun, that like everything that you're creating feels like alive and uplifting. And so, of course, like when we wrote it, I was like, of course, spirit was like, make it playful. It's got to be like, we're going to plant prosperity mandarin trees like all over the world. I was like, of course, like that's the first book that would come through.
That's a lot of fun. And that brings up to a point that I thought about in your book, because I was really drawn to this book and I really enjoyed it. But I do not have Asian ancestry. So for me, I felt like this is a book for anyone, but talk a little bit about that. So.
I love that. I mean, thank you so much for that feedback because we really wanted it to be just relatable and accessible for everyone while also, sharing certain cultural flavors of spirituality that we had.
Yeah, I mean, I think we both learn from a lot of different lineages and modalities. That's just like our passion to keep learning. And so we feel like we really made our teachings from when we were younger and what we learned about our lineage available for modern mystics, for everybody, right? Not just, you don't have to just be Asian for it. And I think it's kind of like Reiki. Reiki is an Asian modality, but it is available for whoever to use.
And we're
I'm
both
a
from
Reiki practitioner. I think we should teach
Oh.
Reiki in kindergarten.
Right.
So, anyway.
Yes.
Yes. So yeah, we're both from Taiwan, and I mean, originally like our bloodline is both from Taiwan. So it was so flow, the entire writing process, our publisher was like, it felt like it was the same voice. Like, they just
Awesome.
like they couldn't even, and we had, it was just flow. We literally had no conflict. It was like, yes, there was like edits, but the edits were, we loved the edits. We were like, oh my gosh, it all makes sense, And I mean, I can't imagine a project coming out more easily. And to me, that's like, okay, Source like really wanted this to come through,
Absolutely. Tell me a little bit of each of you. Tell me about your background. So the book is very magical, and it I felt like it really helps you, introduces you to living a magical life, which I thought was really good. Did you all grow up that way? Did you grow up magical? Is this something you found? Tell me a little bit about your background, how you came to this.
I definitely feel like I grew up magical. I think both of my parents were always like very eccentric. Like my dad has like magnets in his bed for his back. My mom like always took me to herbal doctors. And yeah, I feel like I've always kind of on some, and it was normalized. And I think part of it was the culture, and like going to bed, like bedtime stories with my grandma is like her telling us stories of when she saw spirits, or like, when she so her dad had passed away when she was like 5, and she said anytime she needed money, she'd win the lottery. She'd like win 20,000 NT. And so, and it was just kind of like that was just like what I grew up like listening to, watching. And the movies in Taiwan are much more magical, I feel like. So to me, it was just like, I don't know, it definitely was kind of normalized for me.
Much more a part of your culture.
Yes.
Yeah, I think what Sam said really makes sense because so I was brought up, my parents and grandmother and grandfather were Buddhist. So a lot of praying or pray to this God if you want this, pray to this goddess if you want this. And even when my grandpa passed away, a few of the kids actually saw him. Like after he passed and like crazy things happened and everybody believed. And I actually, but we didn't really, I didn't really like know magic or know energy. And I just remember I was always curious. I went to a lot of psychics and I actually moved out at a really young age. So around 16, 17, I moved out by myself and I was looking for psychics to discover like, what am I here to do? I need to make more money. This is also why I'm obsessed with money. And so that kind of led me to finding my own mentor. She taught me how to meditate, how to astral travel, how to create spells. And then I got Reiki certified, of course, and psychic development. And so everything I learned, I remember going to this holistic fair and there was crystal bracelets and all these ladies were surrounding it and they were holding it. And they were like, this feels amazing. So I grabbed one and I couldn't feel anything. It wasn't until after I trained and learned and remembered how to work with energy that, you know, now it's like magic is every day.
That's really exciting. Yeah, that is funny. And I totally agree. It's because I teach classes and people are like, oh, I can't feel energy. And I'm like, you can, you just don't know what you're feeling. Yes. And you're expecting fireworks, and energies typically starts in whispers. So you have to, and it's funny, you're right. Once people open the door to that, then they see it everywhere. Which takes me another point to your book. The book is a lot of focus on prosperity and abundance. But you make it very clear throughout the book, you're not just talking about money. Talk about that for me.
Yeah. So before the podcast, I was kind of chatting with Deborah and I was just like, you know, it took me a long time to like, really, it's like, I have very wealthy clients and I'm like, okay, what's happening? Like I'd walk into this home and I felt so much peace, and I'd walk into this huge fancy home and feel so much stress. And I was like, oh, like, you know, money can be created from like survival and fear and anxiety and worry, or money can also be created from love and creativity. And it's just, it's like an amplification of one of the energies, you know? And I think that as a planet, we're really evolving and we're getting out of survival and we're going into creation. And that's why people are so adamant about, oh, I want to do what's my life's purpose, what I'm passionate about, because when you spend most of your day happy, and that's how you're creating money, you're actually going to magnetize and create more prosperity and more happy experiences. It's less even about how much actual physical money you have, because that can fluctuate. But how much like genuine wealth you have is like, the universe is so abundant, actually. It's just circulating, you know. So actually, the more you decide to feel incredibly happy throughout a day, you're gonna just, I mean, I can't tell you how many times I'm sitting at a restaurant and they're like, oh, that guy or that person over there just like bought your dinner, or like, oh, drinks on me. Like, it's just like the universe just like gifts it to you. And it may not be like multi-millions, but it's just like everything you need and more, you know, because you're coming from that space of creation and it's flow.
Yeah. So my business partner, Alex, and I train the next generation spiritual teachers, healers, and coaches, and to build a prosperous business. And we do notice that a lot of, you know, they're very heart-centered and they want to help everyone. And so they end up not wanting to take people's money, or they think money is not important. A lot of times, not anymore though, really, because I think we talked about this a lot, and people who come to us know now. But they used to come to us a lot and they'd be like, well, money's not important. But then they can't afford a lot of things in their life and they're struggling and they can't even, you know, be really present in their business, or their business doesn't take off and they can't help other people. So I think money is really important because it's a source, it's an energetic source exchange of what we are sharing in this world. I mean, if we could carry like corn in our pocket and not get old and exchange with that, that would be our currency. But it is money. So I think we need to like Sam said, put the energy of play and love money, because what we focus on is what we bring in, right? So if we focus on how much we love money, how much money is fun, that's what's going to come in. But if we're just like, money's not important, right? Because we're trying to block off like all the bills and all of that and just making it, you know, something little so we don't worry, then it's not going to come to us. So what we focus on is what we bring in. So we should focus on happy money. And even if, and I was at a time in my life where I would go to the cashier to buy groceries and I had negative $300 in my bank account. I couldn't even buy groceries. So I understand if that's your reality, but you need to do this inner work, right? To create the reality that you want. And it comes little by little. And soon, like looking back a year from your practices, you're going to be like, wow, my entire life changed.
Absolutely. And I was going to say, I was lucky. I did not grow up wealthy, but I didn't know it. But my dad always had a thing. If you work hard and you're smart, if your money, don't go crazy. If you don't worry about money, you'll always have money. So I just have always had this idea that I have enough and I'm rich. And it's just interesting to me. But I grew up like that. A lot of people don't. So I think what's really good about your all's book, that it takes that experience for someone who maybe had a negative mindset or is not in a great place, and it teaches them how to go through the process to learn gratitude and to be accepting to abundance, because you have to be accepting to receive. And sometimes that's hard for a lot of people.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just going to say that it took me a long time to actually know what I was doing energetically, because it was kind of like, I would just hit these bliss highs and do like, I don't know, like $50,000 in 4 days or something, you know? And then I would just like, I would receive, and then I would be in fear after I received it. And then I would lose it all because I was in fear. So like when you're in fear, you're actually kind of, you're in a, so in the book, Power Versus Force, it measures out the frequency. So when you're at courage and above, you're in creation. Love is like at 500. So when you go and you drop into fear, which is like at 50, you start to go into destruction mode. And so I just realized like, oh, I was fluctuating. Like, you know, you're always mentally wanting to love everyone, but like the actual love is like your heart is radiating at a certain frequency. And so it's about stabilizing, being in that space and being in that state, because when you're in that state, you're going to take actions and do things that are way different than when you're in a fear state. Because when you're in fear, you're actually in contraction. So you want to find the your genes start to upregulate, and you're in expansion.
Trust is hard. I mean, it is. It's like you say, it takes a lot of courage, and you can do everything, but then you just, for magic to work, you've got to trust and believe it does. And trust is a hard, I mean, it's just a hard thing. So, but you're right. I think that's where the magic comes. Well, yeah. Your book, from what I remember, is broken down in I think four sections. And the first part, and something else that I will compliment you on, is that I think this book is very good. I'm a seasoned practitioner. I've been magical for a long time. And yet I found many things that I want to do. And I want to dive deep and look at that. And I told Samantha a little bit that I actually looked to buy this book because dragons have come into my life, and I've don't really have a background with that, but it's something I've dreamt about, and that's come to me. So I was interested. But the other thing I really liked about your book is if someone was a beginner or just looking, your book really helps them on the path and guides it. Like, you do a very good section talking about altars, which was a little bit different. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah. So I remember when I started off in my magical path, and at that time there was no internet, right? Early 2000s. So we had to go to like Barnes and Nobles or the library. And I just remember, I mean, I was 15, 16, and I couldn't understand anything the book was saying. And so I told Sam that if we write this book, let's make it really simple. And she agreed. I think we're both coaches, so we like to break it down for our clients. and make it really simple for them so that they can do it themselves, so they can have the step-by-step at home. I have, if you look, I don't know if they can see me behind me, that's like my entire altar. So
unfortunately, it's audio only. It's a podcast. Oh, okay, so anyway, okay. But her altar is beautiful. Anyway, you'll have to describe it.
I do believe. So there's actually three parts. There's my business altar right in the center. So all the energy goes in it. I work with Lakshmi because she's the abundant goddess, and the bee because the bee is also abundant. So right now those are who's on my altar. And I highly, highly, highly feel that altars are this really powerful physical space that you can bring all the energetics, the magic that you've been doing into the physical realm. Because a lot of times I notice that our clients go into the kasha, or they do something magical, they do a spell, and they leave it there. They leave it in the energetics, which is great. We start with the energetics, but they forget to bring it back to the real world. And this is where we live.
Yeah. We live on the physical plane. I totally agree.
Yeah. And I wanted to add that, like, one of the things was, like, we feel really excited about, like, each person's home is like a temple, you know, like each person's home gets to have incredible energy and it's channeling source. And like, I think having an altar is like what creates that force field, but it's because our 3D reality is a little more dense. It's kind of like, you got to charge up the field every day. And like having that physical altar just reminds you, hey, like, let me infuse incredible energy into the space every day.
So you also do a good job. You talk about, I know you have permanent altars, but you also will have temporary altars for deity, which is a newer concept for me. Talk about that.
So I think it depends what I am working on. So in the beginning of my writing, I believe that, well, I actually tried to work with Todd, but he said no. So I couldn't work with him. But I will create temporary altars for, you know, goddesses or gods or guides who wants to work with me for a specific project. So whether it's for a book, a deck, a program, or maybe relationship, some part in my life. And once it's manifested, I do feel like they're like, hey, we're done. And maybe I need a new guide for another project. And so that's my temporary altar, especially my business altar. When we launch different things, I do change it out.
I would think of it as like kind of like a small battery packet. It's like a force field. It's like a matrix that you're creating, but you only need it for like the project, you know, or even if you did like a crystal grid, you're like, okay, I'm powering up this crystal grid for this specific intention. And then, okay, like you've evolved, you're kind of done with that. You know, I think there's things in your life that are concrete and you need like always standing. And then there's also the transformation. There's moments when you're in season, or, you know, you're changing things out.
You also, in the section of, which I really liked, like preparing yourself to go on this magical journey, you talk about tarot, and I even wrote it down in my notes. I have a journal that I've done, and I really liked how you said it. You said it's a powerful portal for energies you want to invoke. And I really had not thought of tarot as a portal. So tell us a little bit about tarot.
So I actually love to use tarot as a symbol in my rituals or spells. I mean, I do it for reading every single day, but also I like to set out maybe a future circumstance or future that I want, right? So I'll actually pull out the really good cards, like the Ten of Pentacles, Knight of Cups, like my favorite cards, the Sun, and I'll lay it out and I'll infuse my intention into that. And so instead of letting myself decide my future, I kind of intend. So it's another way to manifest.
That is a way, because a lot of people just kind of randomly choose, and you're not. You're telling the universe exactly what you intend to create. You also, in the book, talk about working with crystals. And which one of you wrote a crystal book? Yay, Pam. Tell us about crystals.
So I think one thing I want to add that was really funny was in that Enchanted Crystal Magic book, I actually had the crystal feng shui in it, but they told me no. So I took out the entire chapter, and I already wrote it. Yeah. And so I think it was for Sam and I.
It's in this book.
It was invisible because she wrote the five elements. Yeah, so she wrote the five elements, and I was like, this is perfect. And so
Absolutely.
it was for this reason, but this was like years. This is like 3 years before I knew this book was coming out. So that was really cool. Yeah. So yeah, I love working with crystals. My best friend and I, this is actually how I got started in online business, spiritual business. We actually went and started selling crystals online on Instagram. And so we went to, all the crystal conventions, we met the dealers and we talked to them. And so I didn't really study crystal from a book, but I was able to learn from people in the mines and all the spiritual people at the conventions. So that was, I'm really grateful for that experience.
Oh, that is really neat. That's really nice. So the first part of the book we've talked about, and then the second part of the book, well, the book's in four things, but you talk about the seven archetypes or gods or deities that you can work with. How did you come across those?
So me and Pamela, we really wanted to just introduce, our version of spirituality, like through the Taiwanese lens, through that culture. And those were the ones that we were like, okay, we grew up with them. We know we like missed one, like we missed tortoise maybe. And later I was like, oh, we should have maybe like invited panda, but these were the ones that we were like actually really deeply familiar with. So that's kind of where we went with that. And I think just like to me, like a crystal runs at a really, really high frequency. And that's something that we have on the earth plane that's like available for us to raise our frequency. Tuning into these guides, the guides operate at an extremely high frequency of light because they're already enlightened. They've already kind of like mastered the video game of life, And when we can connect with them, it raises our vibration so that we have more wisdom. We see life from a bigger perspective. Like we're not so caught in the details of here. We can kind of just like rise up and see the bigger picture of creation.
Yeah, I do remember we had to, there were just so many guides that wanted to come in, but we had to keep it, certain words, word length. And so I do remember we cut out maybe three or four or five guides from this book, but we do feel like these are like the main guides that we've really have worked with. And I think one of the really fun story of this book is Kuan Yin, because I, my family and I used to pray to Kuan Yin. Like that was one of the aspects of Kuan Yin is what one of the masters said was my goddess. So I actually used to pray to her a lot, a lot, a lot when I was a kid. And I didn't realize that she was this Kuan Yin that in the Western world, because it sounds differently. And so when I was talking to Sam about it, she's like, no, that's the same one. I was like, oh. So that was a really, I mean, it took me like what, 38 years, 39 years to realize this. So that was a big aha moment for me.
That's really fun. Explain, there is a term in your book, and I want to go through. Explain to all of us what sacred code activators are.
So when you there's certain words that will like turn, it's almost like the coding, it's like the coding of what's going to turn on certain light codes within the body. So I think that from my perspective, from my channeling perspective, a lot of us are holding broken light codes. So it creates like a level of suffering. And so the sacred codes activate the restored, healed light codes within the body. And so the body will start to like shed the unnecessary suffering that maybe was a survival program that was essential at the time, but that will start to shed. And then the true operating system will begin to light up. So it's kind of like a trigger word that like reminds the core operating system. And this is, like I've seen thousands of clients at this point with body talk and just like the innate wisdom of the system is super intelligent. And so it just like it activates their truth. It reminds them of like how beautiful and how powerful and magical and amazing they are. And it just like starts to just easily shed away the things that they don't need anymore.
Yeah, so we actually, I mean, Sam and I work with a lot of modalities and a lot of quantum and cosmic modalities. And so we actually infused our intention and some codes into our writing, into our book, so that it's like when you pick it up and when you open it and when you read it, even if you're not understanding the words or perhaps you haven't started on the ritual yet, you're still receiving light packets of information. So information travels at light speed, and so you can actually receive information through light into your cells, and you will understand eventually. And so that was a really big part of what we wanted to share also inside of this book. And just like think of technology, right? They create a movie or sound that they may get no sound and no picture. They send it through something, the air, and then suddenly it pops up in your TV screen and you can hear it, you can see it. So that's kind of what we are doing with the magic.
Yeah, it's like a software update for your body in a way. And from the very beginning, we both had that same intention of like this book is to like connect them with their spirit so that they can like emanate more of their own soul light, you know.
So you have the seven archetypes. How do you choose, or how do you know which one to work with? Although you say you can eventually throughout your life work with everyone, how do you know where to start?
So I think it's nice to go through the entire book first, and then you familiarize yourself with like each of the frequencies. And usually someone will pick like one main guide, at least like in the Buddhist tradition, you kind of just pick one. But you know, me and Pamela are more, you know, we're more freestyle. So to us, it's kind of like, what are you feeling in the moment? Because you're a dynamic being. What is it that you actually need in that moment? If you're reading about the guide and it doesn't resonate with you, it's probably not what your system needs
That's
at
why,
this time. Yeah. But if you read it and you're like, this feels so good, this feels so amazing, feels so magical, then that's probably the guide for you to work with at the time. And then you might feel saturated. You might work on it for 60 days and be like, oh, okay, this feels really complete for me. Or maybe it's 2 years and it's really complete. You know, it's like everyone has a different like operating system. So I would just like trust that flow.
Or you can kind of look at this like a path working book. So you can actually work with each guide for 40 days or how 33 days, whatever you want, and then just kind of go from each one down the line. I think that's how I would probably work with them. Or I know that Sam said if you're resistant, then just do the one that lights you up. But actually, at our last book signing event, one of the ladies that came, she was really resistant to the golden ancestors. And during this meditation that we guided in the at that book signing, she actually opened up to them. And that was actually the guide that she needed to work with. So sometimes your
Isn't that
resistance can be your
interesting?
breakthrough. Yeah. So don't discount the one you're like, ugh, about. Maybe you can come back to it later.
I agree.
That's interesting. Well, the book does a really good job. And again, I was drawn to this to you all because dragons have appeared to me recently, which is not an archetype that I have worked with at all. I've done some dragon meditation in my past for protection, but not. So I was really interesting. But for each archetype, you all do many things. You each tell your story, which I think is very good. And I want to hear your dragon story in a minute. But you talk about, I wrote notes, you talk about how to set up altars, what kind of symbols, colors, food offerings, which I very well appreciated that because offering for many different traditions is a new concept and people don't know how to do it, and you all do. So it was so for each one, you go into a lot of depth and walk us through that archetype. So talk to me about dragons.
I think the dragon is really interesting because this book launched in the Year of the Dragons this year, 2024, and it was not planned. Like, we did not know. So that was like a really big surprise.
Yeah, I mean, I want to kind of go get my pen. I have like a dragon pen. My dad has always worn a dragon pen, like a gold
Oh,
dragon
that's cool.
pen. And so I feel like, I don't know, I feel like I've always been really close to them, and they have been ones that have been in my meditation for like probably like as long as I can remember. And I was just so excited that like it came out during the Year of the Dragon. Like we didn't plan that. So I don't know, I felt like that was so auspicious, you know.
Yeah, and for us, at least what the dragons had told us for this book to work with them is for massive expansion opportunities and change in your life, because we know that that does take some power for you to get there when everything in your life changes. And so the dragons are really here to like usher you to the new changes. Yeah.
Imagine them like a key that like unlocks something, but like dragons, like they will move a whole dimension, you know, like they like shift like an entire force field. So it's like when you're ready to work with the, you got to be ready to work with the dragon. And to me, like they usually come in like couples or teams. I mean, not all the time, but like a lot of the times. And so, but you know, like I had a real estate agent that she was like, oh my gosh, business is slow. It's like blah, blah, blah. And we like called in the dragon. She's like, oh my gosh, this huge deal is coming. Like it was just like, whoosh, like in 2 days, you know? And so I feel like it's kind of like if you're ready for like some big change, we got to be able to surrender, you know? And one of the things is like change can be scary, but it doesn't need to be. But you know, you just want to prepare your system to be like, okay, like I'm ready for incredible change. And then you can call on the dragons and they will just like support you.
Yeah, I think you really have to be truthful to yourself and the dragons. Like, really tell them what you fear and not just trying to like shove it down, you know? If you are in fear of something, like tell your dragons, tell them to alchemize the energy and find the solution in how you can feel better, what you can do, instead of just like, you know, locking away the fear deep within you and having that grow, 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 grow and keep you stuck. I think that's why a lot of people do get stuck, because the fear is there and it hasn't been released. It hasn't been alchemized into something that can help them get to where they want to be.
Well, the dragons will literally like suck the toxins out of you. You know, like they will literally like go in and like pull it out of your body if you like let them.
Yeah, fire is very cleansing.
Funny, I'm going through a transformative phase in my life this year. And it's funny, you're right. You want change, you request change, you know, you do rituals of change, and then you get stressed because there's change. It's really very, very toxical that I'm like, okay, I'm like, I just kind of want change I want. And my children are like, that's getting your own way. That's not really change.
That's funny, because that's what a lot of our clients, you know, like things are happening to them and we're like, what happened? And I was like, are you manifesting to be a powerful healer? They're like, yeah. I'm like, well, you're learning how to be a powerful healer by healing yourself first.
Totally. It's so funny because like, you know, like I have a client, she's excited about teaching about money, but because she wants to teach about money now, she has money stuff come up. I'm like, because you're going to teach about it, so you have to be able to feel the uncomfortableness. I mean, I had to feel so much discomfort to like get to the gems and be like, "Oh, I get it." You know what I mean? Like, but it's like if I was born with multiple millions, I don't think I would go through that. I wouldn't know how to change the momentum in my body, you know? And so it's like what you ask, like the superpower you ask for, you have to cultivate.
They forget about that part.
Yeah.
They don't
I know.
know.
Yes, it is. It's funny. But again, like everyone else, I have to remind myself, the fun part isn't when you arrive. The fun part is the journey.
Yeah.
And you have to embrace the journey, because that's where the lessons and I think the love is. And you have to. And again, I'm fortunate. I have learned the gift for me is enchantment in everyday life. And so, you know, being grateful for the small things. So, yeah, but you're right. It is. It's a lot. Something else that you do really good, which I really like, is you do ascension prompts and you give questions that make you think. Tell me about that. That was very clever.
So I think about your brain as like a computer system, and sometimes we get stuck in a negative story. Now, if you ask the brain, like pull up the most positive thing or pull up like the new image, then you're gonna get more fascinated about that, and then you actually shift the momentum of the electrical currents inside of your body because you're thinking about that now the nervous system begins to shift and change. And your frequency begins to shift and change, and then your external reality will mirror that new thought, right? So, but sometimes we need like a positive interceptor or like a magic wand, you know? So it's like I feel like those questions bring forward your higher essence, you know, it brings forward a different part of you, especially if you've been like trapped in an old story.
I think it also, and that was all channeled by Sam, by the way. I love them. But I think it also brings you out of your comfort zone because we only really know what we know and we do the things that we know. And so if we get asked or, you know, we get an idea and we can see things from another perspective and see more, then it kind of opens us to like, wow, the possibilities, opportunities were already here for us. And now we can see it because we think it and we know it's there. Just like if you, so this is actually a wealth, it's not in the book, but this is like a wealth hack that I do love teaching my manifestation students. So I have them write down like 21 things on how they can make money. It doesn't matter if you love it, it doesn't matter if you hate it, just how you can make money. And if you're stuck, if you can write 21, then go more. But that point when you're stuck, that is your comfort zone. And so if you can write two or three more after that, that's when you can break through free. And usually after this exercise, they're like, whoa, this opportunity came in. And it's not because they went out and did something they didn't want to do on the paper. It was because they had a bigger perspective of their life.
Yeah, I feel like it's like they push the limits, you know, they start to like turn their brain into creation mode instead of like so focused on what's not there.
And again, I've just recently read the book, so I haven't started working with it yet. But you're right, these archetypes, especially for many of us, I would say in the Western culture, have a different flavor. And so you're right. So the prompts help you maybe look at things from a different perspective that I wouldn't naturally look at. Does that make sense?
Totally. Yeah. And it familiarizes you with like the superpower of like that archetype. So then you feel more, you know, you have a better idea of like, okay, this is the guide for me to really work with right now. You know, like think of them as mentors. And it's like sometimes you need to learn biology, sometimes you need to learn math. You know, it's like what are you specializing in the moment, or which part of your brain are you exercising? And I think the prompts also guide you so you know which guide to work with.
So, do you suggest that people start with the tiger? Is that the easiest? Is there one that is the easiest to look at? Or should you just read the book and choose? Or how would you suggest people start?
You know, I do like starting with the tiger because it turns on your courage. And
Okay.
once you can get into the mode of boldness and courage, you're able to be more creative. But it's like it's not essential to start there. I actually really like to use it as like, oh my gosh, I'm in the middle of a thing. Where should I go? Boom, the Phoenix. You know, it's like I kind of make use it like that. But especially since we wrote it, so we already have the book pretty embodied. But yeah, I do feel like starting with the tiger is probably and it kind of sets you up for the rest of the book, you know.
Yeah, and I think like Sam said earlier too, whatever you feel. So for me, I mean, just by my the way that I love to learn, I would probably do the money frog because that excites me, and I'm like, yeah, money. So I would go for the money frog. And I think for you, it would probably be the dragon after the tiger, or even the dragon first, because it's so much is calling you for that. So I think the readers will have one that they're already like, hey, I want to work with now.
So, and I like the idea that, as you said, once you do that, then there's others and you can just go through and you have all these resources. Tell me about the lunar solar zodiac, which was I had heard of. I'm a dog, so I knew a little bit about it,
Oh, yay.
but
Yeah.
talk a little bit about that because that was interesting and a different flavor.
Yeah, so I'm a rat.
I'm a dog.
Oh, there you
See.
go.
Yeah. So I know, I mean, growing up, always everybody would talk about this all the time. You know, you're this, you're that, and how everyone's compatible. I know Sam has a story.
Oh yeah, for sure. My mom would be like, "Oh yeah, your aunts, they have like the lucky life because they're like both pigs, you know?"
Yeah, everybody wants to like pop out their babies at like pig year because pigs are so lucky in money and they're just like they could do anything and they'll always be really lucky.
And it's so funny. It's like, it's just in like everyday conversation. You know, they'd be like, oh, your uncle's like so stubborn because he's born in the year of the horse. Or like, you know, I don't, it,
That's so fun.
and I think it was just like a fun way to kind of like introduce that side of the culture, you know? Yeah.
I like
It's really a door opener.
No, I'd like to really use it as maybe not like a day-to-day thing, but maybe like as a blueprint for relationships that you can see, and you can use Western astrology, or I work with Vedic astrology also, so you can kind of, cross over and see what that aligns for you. You'll definitely resonate with one or the other, and so we just wanted to share a few of the traditions that I feel like we do, and it does bring us money. Like, Chinese New Year, we're just like, let's do, Sam, we need to do this,
I think it was really good to introduce. And so tell me, I'm a dog, so we're dogs. Tell me about a dog, Sam. I don't know. This is, I don't know very much about this.
Well, the interesting, like the shadow of the dog is like we worry a little bit more. We can tend to be more anxious because we're basically like security guards. We're like guarding, you know, the family and like so we tend to have that, but we're like extremely loyal, you know, and I think even just like the loyalty, there's like consistency. It's like very persistent. It's, you know, it's like a long-standing friend. You can always count on the dog to like show up for you. So there's a lot of great qualities about it as well. And you
That's
know,
funny. Go
yeah,
ahead.
the other thing that I loved about, you know, there were so many people that read the book and then they told us like, oh my gosh, like once we read that, it kind of like sparked them to like look into China, like Luna Solar, you know, Asian astrology. And there are some incredible like Chinese astrologists that are like so accurate with like they call it like bats. I don't really know much about it like in English. And I think even just being able to like let people know that there's this like entire knowledge and like entire wisdom. Yeah, just like being able to be that door opener for them like was really exciting for me because I think me and Pamela, like we use it, but we don't have like the in-depth knowledge. But I think we opened the door just enough so that people could get fascinated about it and then they could do like their own deep dives.
And I think this is really cool because it actually connected to us to a new friend, and she created the Five Elements Oracle, Vicky Isklander, and she does the Bazi, and she uses the feng shui to do astrology for every day. So today would be like the wood rat. It's not though, I don't know. But and then she'll give you like the qualities of the day or what you can do. So I think that is also really fun and easy for people to tap into.
And the similarities, what you said, dogs like security. I'm also a Cancer, which is crazy
Oh,
about security.
perfect.
So it's kind of interesting to see. Well, you lead me into something else I was going to do. A lot of people who follow a magical path in the Western world work with the four elements, five, including spirit, but your five elements are a little bit different. They have an Asian flair, which I really enjoyed. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, I feel like when I went to Chinese medicine school, they really complicated five elements. So I was like, I just want it to be like so easy and accessible because the thing is, it's like it's so in everyday culture in Asia, you know, like what you're eating, you know, like they'll be like, oh, your cheeks are hot, your tongue is red, like you need to eat more cooling foods. Like everybody just knows. And I think because we know, we actually just keep our bodies pretty balanced. But I think when you're in the US, there's not a lot of people have that wisdom or knowledge. You know, it's just not really passed down here. So you just don't really think about it, you know? And I think like learning it in more depth was like, it was like so life-changing for me because I had like acne all over like my face, my chest, my back. I had too much heat in my body. I'm like, how was I supposed to know that growing up in the US? I didn't realize, you know? And so then I just started like putting cucumbers on my face, you know, like I started like intentionally cooling my body down. I'm like, oh my gosh, now it's like going away, you know? And I'm like, wow, just like the simple awareness of like food and like how your body's like heating up or cooling down can like just change the way you live, you know, change the choices you make.
I just remember something that we, this book that we had when I was little, and I just remember one thing. It was like, don't eat crab with ice cream. Like, that's bad or something. And I just remember, I think that was for heat or something, but I
Well,
do
that's
remember.
funny. So
Sam probably knows.
They think crab is very cooling for the body, so they always eat it with ginger.
Because
So
ginger is spicy and hot.
it heats up the body. So a woman, like women, tend to run more cold and they need to stay warm. So for their like moon cycle to be like, flowing well. And when the moon cycle's off, oftentimes it's because the body's too cold. So like crab is too cooling, and then mangoes, for whatever reason, can create a lot of heat in the body. So you don't want to eat too many mangoes. But it's like all these things that we like learned growing up. Like I would, like in the US, you just don't think about it. And then you might just have some very basic body imbalance that's actually has to do with like the five elements, but you're not aware of, how to use that technology.
Yeah, like I
No,
watch a
I
lot
do
of,
think that's fascinating.
I watch a lot of like Korean and Chinese dramas. They're kind of like soap operas, but in it they have, the emperors and they used to eat, eat medicine from their food. So they would have all of this and you have to eat this and this. And I think we just forgotten to do that.
Well, in the emperors in Asia, like their doctors were there to prevent getting sick. Like
Yeah.
if the emperor got sick, it meant the doctor wasn't a good doctor. So it's like all of Chinese medicine is meant to like even to prevent it from
Prevent.
even happening, And so I think there's a lot of awareness there, like with the five elements. So that was actually like our editors asked us to write that, or asked me to write
Yeah.
that section. And like I was like, oh, that was fun.
You're right, because it can be very, very complicated. And so just basic will, hopefully maybe that'll be your next book, or give people the idea that they want to learn more and to utilize it.
Yeah, I mean, I think we gave enough information that they, even if they just practiced that, they would notice a change, and that's what I wanted.
Absolutely. And I'm very excited about your crystal feng shui that you so tell me about that. Feng shui is again something else that I have very little, I know little bit about, have not worked with, and so I know nothing about crystal feng shui. So tell us about that.
So I think you probably already understand because you have altars. So it's just really the energy and the flow of your physical space. So I'm sure you know when this candle is supposed to go here or there and it feels right. So that's kind of what feng shui is, just making your space feel right for whatever it is that you want to achieve. And, and in Chinese, they have done studies and on how, don't, well, I'm not actually supposed to be facing my back to my door in my office because then I can't see what's coming in. But my remedy is I have a mirror in front of me to see. So there's a lot of that, that has they have shared and have studied. And so crystal feng shui is using specific crystal energies. So we did give a list of abundance crystals, love crystals. Of course, this is like an overview. Sometimes you might feel a little bit different. So for example, I used to be a dealer in Las Vegas at the casino, and one of my players, she was like, "I'm going to play poker. I want to win. Give me a crystal." I always had crystals with me. And so instead of like a citrine money crystal, I gave her a smoky quartz. And I think it's because I knew that she needed to stay grounded, and she actually got second place. So,
Yay.
yeah, she did. And so though we just gave you a guideline, but if a crystal calls out to you, you can always use that for prosperity, And so we did give the different crystals for prosperity, love, relationships, health. And so you can put this in different areas, and we have the map, right? And so if you have the book and you're looking at the map, the door, the front is always the one closest to you in the middle. So on your desk, it would be the one closest to you in the middle, and then the left side up and so on. So you can use this for your desk, you can use this for your room, you can use this for the whole house. So you can use that map in that way. It's very easy to read, and it just shows you which section is generally for that energy and what you want to put there. Maybe, you do need to put water where the water section is and a blue crystal there. So it's very self-explanatory.
Yeah, and what I love about having crystals, so a home can get dense pretty easily. Like, let's say you're like processing negative emotions. I always say, like, when people are going through a divorce or whatever, you know, but just living everyday life, you know, it's like I think that the crystals, like they bring in a very high frequency energy and they help you cleanse the space and they help you cleanse the emotions. But also they help you stabilize like the wealth frequency or the love frequency. So it's so nice. And it's also like like an external cue, you know, it's like you look at it and then you're going to be reminded of it. And then you're going to create the frequency of it inside of your system. So it's this like very symbiotic way of bringing magic into the home.
Right, it's layers because I think magic is layers. The more layers that you add on, just the more frequency gets higher and the more it works.
Yeah.
So I think that's again, I need to research that because again, that is, and I have learned because crystals, especially early on, did not speak to me. Like some people just have, and I'm sure Pam does, some people just have a natural affinity. They can put a rock in their hand and it sinks. And I did not. But I know the more that you work with a crystal or energy and the more open you are to it, the more that it makes more sense to you. Do you
You know,
find that to be true?
yeah, so if you read back to like the Atlanteans, like Atlantis, people would come out every morning and charge up the crystals, and that's what powered the city. And so the thing is, like, as humans, we have so much energy, but we, as little kids, we weren't really taught like how to access that or how to evolve that. And I think that we're like just beginning to like understand how to do that. So, but just like you said, it's just like angels can only help when we ask. The crystals are kind of the same. It's like they can only really be available for us when we decide that, you know, that we would love for them to support us. Because otherwise it's just like an inanimate object, you know. And I do think, like, you know, when you learn Reiki, when you learn all the other things, like your body becomes more sensitive and you actually begin to feel more. And just like you were saying earlier, it's like actually they were always feeling, they just didn't know how to identify it. And it's like a muscle. Once you exercise and you use it, it gets stronger.
Yeah, and I don't even think that you need to believe in it. I think maybe just the asking would be really powerful. And same with you, Deborah. I think in the beginning I couldn't feel crystals, but now they're just like very, very strong. But we did have a crystal client that he didn't believe, but he thought maybe it could help. So he came in and he wanted one for love, right? Because he hasn't dated for like 3 years. And we gave him a double pointed pink rose quartz, and he put it in his pocket. After he stepped down into the parking lot, two girls came up to him, and one girl became his girlfriend the week after. It was crazy.
That is funny.
And he didn't know. He was just trying to support us, our small business, and that was really nice of him. He's like, "Hey, this
All right,
can't
now I'm
hurt."
gonna have to get a pink double.
Double point,
That's
yeah.
really,
2 points,
that is
yes.
really fun. That is really fun. And again, I've also had to learn, just like with tarot or divination, that things don't come to me like a movie, but I will maybe dream about something.
Ooh.
Or all of a sudden, I will just know something, or I'll hear a song and then I will get a message. So, when I work with divination or stones or things, it does not come quick to me. I have to, and I laugh. The gods only talk to me if I'm quiet. So, I have to be still and then something will just come. And I have had to learn that's the gift for me.
Yeah, and I think that as you play with things, your intuition will get stronger. Like it'll start to show up in different ways. It's kind of like one, you'll master one and another one will start to open up. And then I just like also have a quick crystal story just to emphasize the love crystal.
Tell us, yeah.
One of my friends would just make fun of me all the time for like everything I do, you know, and I gave her this. She'd broken up with like this guy she was like super in love with, you know, and anyways, I gave her this like pink crystal, and like a week later, she met her husband.
That's
And
fun.
I had no idea. She didn't tell me till way later. She was like, actually, I think it was that crystal you gave me.
Isn't that fun?
Yeah. Well, one of my really good friend, also supporting us, bought a citrine for her husband. He came to Vegas and he won $1 million. When he had our crystal on the table. And so after that, all the poker players started to buy crystals from us.
Oh, that's so fun. That is really fun. Oh, you all have been delightful. Tell me what's going on. What do you all have coming up next? Anybody have a new book coming?
I do have a couple books on the burn on the back burner, like, but they're just starting. I'm just starting to bring them through. One I want on a human design, and another one on, I created a modality called the quantum particles. So I feel like it's going to get a little bit more quantum magic. It's going to get a little bit more quantum manifestation. And then like also breaking down human design in a way that's going to be just very accessible for people.
Oh, that sounds great.
So I have, I think Wealth Witchery is coming out with Llewellyn. I'm not too sure when. So hopefully more abundance books coming out. I think they want to see if that will do good. And then I Steampunk Fairy Tarot. Oh, they can't see. Steampunk Fairy Tarot just dropped on 8/8. So it's available now anywhere. So this is also with Llewellyn, and Capricorn Tarot, which is with US Games, just also came out. And January 2025, Galactic Star Tarot with my business partner Alex is coming out with Hay House. And so that is going to be really, that's for all the star seeds. So I kind of dive into a lot of different things. And I'm also currently launching our Money Magic Manifest program, and this is a 5-week live program with us to manifest, you know, more money, more abundance, more wealth, more love, whatever it is that you desire.
Oh, both all those projects sound great. It's funny, you'll have to come back on. I had not had someone who had published and created a tarot deck, because I thought, well, this is audio, they won't be able to. And it's so funny. And and they're like, yeah, you know, we really want this author on. And it has been one of the most requested, because we have such a large audience that listen to later archive, and people loved it because, again, if someone's passionate about their cards, they describe them and they do it. And so, yes, you'll have to come back on if you're interested, because it worked really, really well. So,
so, of course.
Yeah, it was really great. So, all right. Well, I'm excited. Thank you all so much for being here tonight.
Thank you, Deborah.
Hey, Deborah. Thank you so much.
And I am looking forward to your projects coming up.
Yay.
Besides you, besides Pam and Samantha, I'd like to thank Stephen, our sound engineer, for his technical expertise. And everyone come with us for the next Circle Talk this year at PSG. Ministers graduated from the minister training program and they were ordained, and we're going to meet 3 new Circle Sanctuary ministers. So come back and hear their journey. Thank you, everyone. And we will see you next time, and blessed be.
Thank you for joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcast, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow nature-centered paths. Join us throughout the week for various programming connecting with the community around the world. Please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSN Podcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. Until next time, many blessings.